The end of the Mizmor, Mizmor Nun Hey, on page 486. Okay, we started yesterday with the pasuk of Yashi Moves Olemo. David, yesterday, he curses evil. He curses Achitofel and Doeg for what they have done to him. And we went through the psukim. Maybe I'll just read the psukim very quickly to recap. Okay, it's on page 486. Yashi means to set. Miloshin of Yesh, Lahanchil Le'ohava Yesh, to bequeath to my beloved Yesh's substance. Bring upon them the ultimate substance of death. Yea, the Yesh, this Yesh, the Yashi Maves, bring upon them, to be more precise, the way the Mitzudis David translates word Yashi means they should be chayiv, they should be guilty, they should be, I guess, in a court of law, they should be judged, and they should be declared chayav. Yesh, Moves, Yashi, Set, Moves.
We didn't do the Rashi.
We did not do the Rashi. So Yashi, Moves, Olemu, bring upon them death. Yerdu, Sheol, Chayim, may they descend into the grave suddenly. Mitzudis David has a unique translation for the word Chayim. Chayim means basically suddenly. Suddenly, without any warning. They are the picture of health. These people appear to be vibrant, healthy, robust, and out of nowhere they go into the grave.
Does Yaakov say that?
Where does Yaakov say that?
Are you thinking of the word Yoshis?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're doing Sheol Chayim. Didn't he say something like
that? Yeah. You're going Sheol, and the word Sheol is four times in the Chumash.
Wow.
Didn't it say Chayim? Yeah, one it says Chayim Sheolah, then right. It says Biyogon Sheolah.
Right. Moshe about Korach.
Right, and then also. But that, over there, it doesn't mean that. It means alive and remaining alive in the phantom zone.
Oh, okay, so that right.
Even because you say Kavish over a dead body, you're hoping they'd be likely to be safe to be a male situation, all things like that. It's someplace where you can't even communicate with anybody. So it's worse than
Gehenna.
If
Binyamin
doesn't come back alive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Okay. It's right. They're in Gehenna alive. Just like it's the parallel to a certain tzaddikim, they go to Gan Eden alive. Misushalach v'yeinenu ki lokach oisei lekim, but he went into Gan Eden alive. Right. You have such a concept. The same way there's a concept of going into Gan Eden alive. There is a concept of going into Gehenim alive, which represents the concept of an intensity beyond our understanding.
Right.
An intensity of either the ultimate intensity of Gan Eden is to be alive in Gan Eden, physically alive, and the ultimate intensity of Gehenim is to be alive in Gehenim. Okay, but here over here, according to the Mitzvah, that's not what it means. In this passage, he learns the word Chaim over here means suddenly, without any warning. Why? Ki ra'ois bim gurum bikirbam. The Mitzvah says that because these people are thoroughly evil. And the two words are nothing more than a poetic repetition. Bim gurum means in their dwelling place. Bikirbam means in their midst. There is evil. They are the personification of evil itself. It's an intensity of evil. That's why they deserve this terrible punishment to go into Gehenna, that they should die suddenly. Pasuk Yitzayin Ani El Elokim Ekra. David says, I, in contrast to these wicked people, I call out Hashem, Hashem Yosheni, Hashem saves me. Erev Avoyker Vitzoharayim. We say this in davening every day, in Modim, that in the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon. Asicha, I speak to Hashem Ve'ehemeh, I cry out. Vayishma Koili, Hashem listens to my voice. Pasuk Yites Padav Shalom Nafshi, Hashem redeem in peace my neshama. Mikrovli against all those people who are at war with me. people, the word mikrov means war. Redeem in peace my neshama from those people who have gone to war against me. Ki verabim hayu imadi, and we learned this. Ki verabim hayu imadi, according to the Mitzudos, because there are many. It's in the past. He's referring back to his history. Let's just look quickly again at Pasuk Yates in the Mitzudos. May Olam Very important, according to the Mitzudos, David is employing a technique that he has done many times. He's looking back to his history. He's looking back to his life. In the Hashem, save me now, because you've saved me in the past. In the past, you've always redeemed me from those people who have waged war against me, even though I was outnumbered. My enemies were more numerous, more powerful, more stronger. They were rabbim, and I was small in number. Yet in the past, you always came to my rescue, and therefore I can use that as a inspiration that you will be there for me in the future and you will save me. Because he did already. That was Pasuk Yizayin. Pasuk Yizayin already used Yosheri. You're right. All these words, it's a very big mystery. The eloquence, why these words are interchangeable. They seemingly mean the same thing. What is he trying to say? You're right. I don't know. I don't know why, you know, the nuances of every single word.
So he's saying,
yeah.
Imodi means against me.
Look at the Mitzudos. Mitzudos, read very carefully. Me'olam, from time immemorial. Pado nafshi, you have always redeemed my soul. Lehashiva v'shalom, to restore it in peace. I was in grave danger. Okay. My life could have come to an end, and you miraculously saved my life. I came back home in peace. Mehamel chamois haba'ois olai, from all the wars that were waged against me. Imki, even though I was outnumbered. Imki hanel chamim imodi
chay. Imodi means
against me. Correct. Yes. Correct. Correct. Imadi. Even though those imki hanil chamim imadi hoyu ba'amrav vani bimsei mispar. Even though imadi means with me, you are correct, and it would seem that not fit this translation, but the Mitzudos David seems to title imadi to mean against me in this context. Correct. In this context, even though they are against me, yet you have always been there for me. You've come to my rescue. Right. It's not. I don't think it's the way that we like to translate it. We'll see Rashi in a moment. But in Hanami over here, he's saying over here that I'm using this as instrument. He does this many, many times. It's a very powerful technique that when a person finds himself in a difficult situation, just look back to the past, and just like in the past, you were in this situation before, and you somehow survived. Hashem saved you. That should be an inspiration that Hashem will get you out of the situation you find yourself in now. In the past, there was war. I was outnumbered. Hashem redeemed my neshama. I came home in peace. So there's no reason why now, when I'm faced with this difficulty of Achitofel and Doyeg, I should survive it as well. Pasukhov.
Well, one second. So reading it backwards, we could say sort of, you redeemed me in the past, Bodel Bisholom Nafshi, and now I'm asking Yoshieni, rescue me now.
If you're going back to Yud Zayin, you're reading right. Pasuk Yutess first, yeah, and then you go back, right? Right, it's correct.
You redeemed me in the past, Yoshieni, save me now.
Save me now, Yoshieni, yeah. Right? He's looking for inspiration. David is begging Pasuk Yud Zayin, save me. And how do I know? How do I have the inspiration?
So I'm reading it backwards.
Okay, right, correct.
But you redeemed me in the past, so you
just as you
redeemed
me in the past, you can redeem me as well. You would put Pasuk Yutes before Pasuk Yudzayin, which in Hanami, that's what we do sometimes. We read things, you read the whole picture in one shot, and you really have to translate a little backwards. Pasuk Chaf, Yishma Kel V'Yaneim, Hashem, listen to me, V'Yaneim, the Mitzudah stuff, it says that the word, this Pasuk Chaf is going back, all the way back to Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin was the curse. Yashi Mavis Salemo, curse them, bring upon them death. So now he's referring back, listen to me, and Yishma Eli, listen to me, via name, and answer them. Now them is in the Meloshna Rabbim. Well, no, not necessarily. Let's do them again. The Mitzudah stuff, no, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. V'yaneim does not mean to answer. I'm sorry. V'yaneim means to humble. V'yaneim, inui. Inui means affliction. Hashem, listen to me and afflict. Bring suffering upon my enemies. The Mitzudah stuff says, V'yaneim, v'yachniim, humble them. Okay? Like it says, le'onos paru refuses, le'onos mi ponai. refuses to humble himself from before me. The Yoshev Kedem is a hard pasuk. So we learned the Yoshev Kedem, Hashem. The word Yoshev Kedem is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that has resided upon this Kisei HaKavod from days of old, back from the time of creation. Sela, may he
All the way back
from the time of creation, from Briya Shemayim Baretz, the one that has always been on his throne. Now the word Sela is not going on Hashem according to the Mitzudos. May he destroy my enemies forever. Destroy them. Why? Destroy them. The word Sela is going back on V'ya'anem. Humble them, defeat them, subjugate them forever. Who should do this? The Yoshev Kedem, because he will listen to my prayers. Why? What is the reason why my enemies are so evil? So we discussed, yes, at great length, it's because Asher Ein Chalifa Islamo. They do not believe they'll ever die. They do not believe they will be exchanged from this world to the next world. They do not believe that their mazel will be changed from good to bad. And Velo Yoru Elokim, my enemies do not fear God. What did they do to me? Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Shalach Yadav Bishloimov. My enemies have, I'm their best friend. David says, I am the Shlomov. I was the best friend, the confidant, the person that would do anything, give the shirt off my back for my friend Achi Teufel. I would have done anything for Doyeg. And look what they did. They were Shalach Yadav. They stretched out their hand to do evil, to cause pain to the people that were at peace with them. Chilel b'riso, we had a covenant. Myself and Achi Teufel, it's as if we entered into a covenant that we would be there for each other. We would always help one another. And he has profaned, he has violated the covenant that we have forged amongst ourselves by what he has done. Cholku, now this beautiful pasuk abeis, this pasuk we discussed yesterday, which describes a robot, or describes, it describes the smooth talker. Cholku macha mo'ois pif. We have to read it backwards. The words that come forth from their mouth are smoother than cream. We translate the word chema not as butter, that is a modern translation. In Tanakh, chema is cream. The words that come forth from their mouth are smooth like cream. In other words, they can convince anyone of anything.
They're
two-faced. They're worse than right, exactly.
Chalev also means
cream. Chalev? I thought it means fat. Okay, the fat, okay, whatever, okay, all right, whatever. It depends on the context. So they have the ability to convince, to make believe. They say one thing and they do other. Ukirov libo kama, kirov libo means, but inside of their heart they are at war. They are at war. They're phonies. They're hypocrites. Achas bepe, the achas belev. Raku divarov mishamen. He repeats himself according to the Mitzudos. Don't look at the Tameh HaMikra. Tameh HaMikra, Tameh HaMikra, a little bit confusing over here. It would seem that the word Libo, I mean, there are two different Tameh HaMikra. I don't know what this means. There's two different symbols in the word Libo, but the Mitzudos breaks it up into, right, puts the next word separate. Raku divarav mishamen. Their words are softer than oil. They're smooth. It feels very good. But the truth is, Vehema pisichois, inside. Inside of their neshama, they are swords. The word pisichois, I'm not familiar with this word, it means a cheref. They are pisichois, that's how the Mitzvah says, a charevois, a sword. Okay, it means they're...
It means curse.
It means a curse?
Yeah.
It means, yes, okay, I'm not familiar. We'll see some of them before. The Targum says, the Inun Mu Ronyon Diktol. They're masters of death. They're Dr. Death. They're masters of death. That's what it was. Pisichos, because the word Pisichos means a grave. Okay, there's a word. Rav Meskel, you flew with the word. There's a word over here. Pach. Pei sof ches. This pei ches tof pachas. The word pisichois. For some reason, in my mind it means a grave. Okay.
Look at the Ibn Ezra. I think
okay, the Ibn Ezra. What does the Ibn Ezra say? Charavos. Litushois. They are sharpened swords. That's what the Mitzvah stuff is. That they are sharpened swords. Oy shalufosa means psicha, withdrawn. They're removed from their sheath.
Withdrawn.
Kamei cheref paschu rishoyim. Paschu means to open up. You take the weapon out of its holster, out of its sheath. So it would seem that the word pei sof ches is pesach, which means to open. It is a borrowed term. And in this context, it refers to the weapon has been armed. The weapon has been loaded. You have loaded the ammunition. You have removed the safety feature. On most weapons, there is a safety lock.
What it's called, the safety.
Yeah, Rashi and you've, both Perushim, by the way.
Okay, we'll do Rashi inside in a second. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we'll do this review we did yesterday.
Similarly, there's cheref ppos, like a cheref has
double-sided.
Mouth.
P fiois. Okay, that's a different word. Yeah.
It's different, but then again, it's similar to pesuchos in a way.
Okay, all right. P, pesuchos. Okay. So here it's a double edged sword. Okay, he's saying it's double edged or it's unsheathed. And these people, they speak one thing with their mouth. They talk one way, they mislead and they fool people, they disarm people, and then when you're not watching, they stab you in the back. So that's what David says about Achitofel. It's a very powerful pasuk, very eloquent pasuk, describing the hypocrisy, describing people who are phonies that you have to be on guard, watch out for. They speak beautifully, eloquently. It's soundly, they gain your trust through their beautiful, eloquent speech. And then when they got you, they just stab you and they steal from you and they cause you enormous grief and harm. The krav, there's war in their heart, and inside of them they are chema pesichos, which means a master of death. That is what it says in the Mitzvah, that's what it says in the Targum. They are muronyon, like a master of diktol of death. It's a very powerful expression from the Targum.
And the explain why they turned on David?
Because ulterior motives, because they saw an opportunity. David, in David's Malchus, they were they did not have job opportunity. They were stifled. They did not have an opportunity of moving up. In the reign of Avshalom, Achitofel saw that if Avshalom would be king, I think Chazal say that they planned to kill Avshalom at the end, and then Achitofel would be king. There was an agenda. Okay, we have to learn Sefer Shmuel. Achitofel, while David was the king, Achitofel's career was limited. There's only that much he could make. He can't make more than $1 million. He wants to make $1 billion. He wants kavod. He wants power. And if Avshalom would become Melech, that would open up possibilities. Do you know what kind of opportunities, economic opportunities that would have, that would enable? What he could accomplish? What? And therefore, he wanted to get rid of David in order to enable himself to achieve some personal gain. So he spoke very nicely and calmly. Everything sounded so good. But deep down inside, it was all about himself. I saw yesterday online, what was the name of the vice president? Gore, Al Gore. Al Gore is one of the biggest advocates of global warming. So they say that he made already, he made $300 million. He's a very rich man on global warming. So can you really trust a person who tells you about global warming when he has $300 million? He has so much money, really?
Except that he goes everywhere in a private jet.
$300 million. How could you trust someone that is profiting $300 million on... I would do it for $5. To go give speeches that the world is coming to an end. And
well,
he's making...
That's why he's rushing to get it before it's over.
He's taking it with him.
Okay, people do a lot of strange things for strange reasons. And David over here is saying that Achi Teufel is a smooth talker. Everything he says makes a lot of sense. And he has a koich ha-dibur, and he's very convincing. But deep down inside, I know what's really going on. And all the talk, everything he says is baloney. He has an agenda. And it's very dangerous. David fell for it. Same thing. David fell for it. David was his best friend. David says we were at peace. We had a covenant between us. David really had believed in Achitofel. And now when he sees how Achitofel is telling his own son to murder him, he sees, I was fooled my whole life. This man is nothing more than a smooth talker whose only goal is to him for himself, personal gain, selfish gain. Pasuk of Gimel Hashtech al Hashem Yehavcha, the beautiful pasuk.
Couldn't this be this one, you're just on a side note, it says, what do you say? Oisik b'sarchei tzibur.
Be'emuna.
It's this.
Exactly.
Sarchei tzibur.
You don't really know. You don't really know what is the person's motivation. And people, many people, they we fool ourselves, forget about other people, forget about ourselves. We do a lot of things in life. Look, there's always a rule of mitoch shaloi lishma, ba lishma. They always tell you today that you have to run every tzedakah organization should be run like a business. Because if it's not run like a business, it's gonna peter out. It's gonna fade away. People have to have incentives. Without incentives, it's been proven, without personal incentives, then it's not, the success is very limited. Okay? So that's the way the world works. The world works where there is a Yetzirah. You have to employ the Yetzirah in everything that you do in order to accomplish, to achieve. The Rambam talks about becoming a Talmud Chacham. You have to go, the whole Rambam has a beautiful description of what you have to give a person every stage in his life in order to encourage a child to go to the next level. First you give a child, you give him some nuts, and then you give the child some clothing, and then eventually you become 30 years old, you have to give a student kavod, and then you have to give a student this. Hopefully by the time a person gets to the end of his life, he'll finally do something l'shem shamayim. And you can't skip the steps. You can't skip the steps and do a mitzvah l'shem shamayim when you're very young. It does not work like that. That's the way Hashem made the world. So obviously there has to be incentives, but there comes a certain point in time where something has to be l'shem shamayim. David makes it very clear that he was fooled by many of these people, Achitofel and Doeg. He says very beautiful things about them, and that is why he is in such shock and depression when he discovers how they fooled him. They were nothing more than smooth talkers with eloquent speech, convincing arguments. And when you see that they're there convincing your own children to take your life, obviously these people are the lowest of the low, and they're just very successful in fooling you, maybe fooling themselves. Pasuk of Gimel, Hashleich al Hashem Yehovcha, throw upon Hashem your burden, for who yichalke lecha, he will sustain you. Lo yitain le'olam mot la tzadik. We read this backwards. Hashem will never allow a tzadik to falter, to collapse forever. Pasuk of Dalav Yata Elokim Tardim Leveshachas, with regard to the wicked people, Hashem bring them down to the pit of the two words which mean the same thing, the be'er, a pit, and a shachas, which means it's a term for Gehenim, and Shei Damim, these are people, murderers of blood, Umirma, deception, he curses them, Lo Yechetsu Yemehem, they should not live half of their days. And I, on the other hand, Vani, I, David says, Eftach Bach, I have faith in you, Hashem. Okay, that's a review of yesterday. Now let's go back into the Rashis. Rashi, back on page Tezayin, page 486. 486, Tezayin, Yashi Moves Olema. What does the word Yashi mean? I told you when the Mitzvah said it means to set. To set. It's a difficult translation. Rashi says Yashi means to carry. Yashi, let's see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alei Mesmalach HaMoves. Or, okay, whatever, let's see, he explains.
To incite.
Okay, incite. Then he translates it. What is the word Yashi? Obviously, Rashi over here is having a difficult time with the exact translation.
He inserts an aleph.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. After the yud and aleph, we'll look at how he says Yashi. The root is Yashi. Yisachseich v'yosis. Okay. V'yosis means to incite. L'shoin hanochosh hi shi ani v'oichal. Chava said about the nochosh. The nochosh incited me. The nochosh convinced me. It's an expression of enticement to sin, persuasion to do evil, to persuade a person to do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. And that's, so we're taking the word that it says about the nochosh, hanochosh, he, she, ani, va'oichal, period, and that's what it means over here, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu entice the Malach HaMoves upon them to die. It's an incredible idea, because you would not expect that the Malach HaMoves needs convincing. The Malach HaMoves in our minds is evil, that's what it does. Just let it loose. We always have the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding back the Malach HaMoves. If the Malach HaMoves would be let loose, the whole world will be dead in a second. The Malach HaMoves, that's what it does. It just devours people. Just let it loose, the whole world will come to an end. Every person, his life will be taken. Why does the Malach HaMoves kill every person in the world? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it on a chain. Hashem has a leash. There's a leash holding back the Malach HaMoves, and Hashem says, don't. Only the ones that I give permission. Only the certain people, their time has come. Their time has come to return to the Olam HaEmes. To those people, I give you permission to go and bring them back to me. But if I were to let go of the leash, the Malach HaMoves will be let loose, and the whole world will come to an end. This Rashi says, no. Hashem is letting go of the leash, and the Malach HaMoves is not interested. I rather go on vacation. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Hashem has to go to the Malach HaMoves and speak to it nicely and softly and say, can you do me a favor? You know, I'll give you a bonus. I'll give you some reward. Can you please go down to this world and take the life of Achitofel? Go get him. That's not what we expect. We have this impression that the Malach HaMoves is out to get everyone. Here, we learn an insight, according to Rashi, how Hashem makes this world. That the Malach HaMoves is not necessarily out to get everyone. There are certain people...
He didn't actually do anything yet on the circuit. He had a plan and agenda, but he didn't do it. Once he does it, Malach HaMoves, you know, will take care of that.
He did. Chazal say he did two things.
Trying to entice him, even though he didn't really do anything, get him right now anyway.
Achitofel lived. Achitofel lived with the wives of David. David says from the pasuk. He lived with them. Achitofel told Avshalom. He advised him to live with David's wives. Achitofel advised Avshalom to chase after David at night in this location. He tried to lighten it. It's an interesting thing is that look, you do find there. This is, we know nothing about these type of Kabbalistic concepts, but over here, maybe the reason why the Malach HaMoves did not want to kill Achitofel because Achitofel can do a better job in destroying the world than the Malach HaMoves can. There are certain people out there in this world that are so evil, they know how to make more trouble than the Malach HaMoves himself. The Malach HaMoves didn't...
Take care of their work.
Okay, we don't know how this works. For some reason, the Malach HaMoves doesn't want to take away evil people. Look at Dasan Va'aviram. Dasan Va'aviram were pure evil. From day one, they were Ma'al Shema Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had to flee to Midian for 40 years. Because of Dasan Va'aviram. And
they came out of Mitzrayim, though. 4/5 remained.
Right, and they came out.
But they came out.
They had a zuchus. What was their zuchus? Chazal say, what was their zuchus? Their zuchus was that when the Egyptians told Klal Yisrael, we're not giving you straw. That was later. That was a later point in time. We're not giving you straw. They did not demand of their brethren that they should produce more bricks, and they took the beating. And because they took the beating, it says in the Chazal that the Yam split just for them, just for them. They didn't leave Mitzrayim. They didn't believe you would have. They didn't die during the Shloish Shesmeafela. And they did not leave. And then when they saw...
They didn't worship the angel either.
They didn't worship the angel either?
Well, they would have killed him. Here, Guish Anoshov.
Maybe they did. We don't know. Maybe so, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Survived.
They did terrible, terrible things. But obviously, you see this life, they have a schus. And that schus, for some reason, the Malach HaMavis is off limits. Achitofel, it seems, was off limits. If David over here has to go and beg Hashem, Yashi, and according to Rashi, Rashi is giving us a powerful insight. It means to entice. You only have to entice an individual or something when they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. For some reason, the Malach HaMavis is not interested in taking the life of Achitofel. And David is begging Hashem to get involved and to entice the Malach HaMavis that they should die. Now, why doesn't Hashem himself take the life of Achit? Why doesn't Hashem talk directly to Hashem? These are very big mysteries. How do all these things work? We learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the lives of the firstborns of the Egyptians. Hashem didn't send the Malach. He didn't send the Malach HaMavis. Hashem himself, V'yavarti bi'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. Hashem himself took the lives of all the firstborns of Egypt. Here, Achitofel. No, Hashem, David is not asking Hashem for you to take away his life. David is asking Hashem to entice the Malach HaMavis to take the life of Achitofel. This goes back to the beginning of the Mizmor, where David said about Achitofel, according to Rashi's Perish, that it never happened in my life ever, where a person insulted me, that I did not get up and kill the person. David is a very powerful leader. David said, someone insults me, they're finished, I kill them. But you, Achitofel, I can't do that. I can't. You're different. Why is he different? You're ish ke'erki, alufi, umiyudoi. David describes Achitofel with three beautiful expressions, which obviously means that there was some exceptional quality about Achitofel that prevents him from being eliminated in the same method and technique that the average wicked person is eliminated. They are complicated people. What?
You said that he had this whole story.
Okay, so just because, but a Russia's a Russia. Yeah.
But that protected him.
What does that mean exactly? How does that work?
I don't know.
These are very big mysteries. This is a yisay that goes through the entire Torah, Yishaya Tanakh. There are complicated people. There are people who have tremendous merit, incredible merit, and on the other hand are extremely wicked. And these people, they just go on. They go on, Hashem lets them live. And the most important people is Dasan V'Aviram. Dasan V'Aviram were always there, always the first ones to make trouble. How did they survive? How did they get away with it? Well, Chazal said they had very big schusim. They went and they took the beating for Klal Yisrael. That gave them the ability to live and to make trouble. And this is a complicated mix, how people are allowed to survive. You can never get rid of them, these people. They just stick around and they make trouble. They did have some incredible merit, which gives them the koyach to remain in where they are. Ad kidei kach.
One of the sfaras they say is that, the hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael is that, lo b'kapeach tarfu beria. In other words, he has to give the reward for the tzaddik or dostaviram. He has to pay them off in this world for the good things they did.
But does that...
And then they're left in the next world, so that can... They have to
yeah,
pay
but does
off.
That... Just because Hashem has to give them...
If you kill them, they're not going to get paid off in this world.
I know, but just because they're allowed to have merit, does that permit them to cause other people pain? Very good. Hashem does not deny reward to any creature in this world.
Right.
But
so
not at my expense.
That would answer all the questions.
But not at my expense.
In other words, Achisayfo, they had to get the reward to be paid off in this world, so in the next world,
they're finished.
They get their,
yeah, but not at my expense. Just because they have to receive reward, why do I have to suffer?
What happens happens.
David. Let us. David.
That's the problem. Also, you know. Show me your ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have
tzaddik v'ra'alai.
You have conflicting issues here.
Okay, absolutely.
Which way do you go?
Absolutely. This is a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says Yashi means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malach HaMavis, is not interested. He's not interested, and David is begging Hashem, not that Hashem should do it himself, but Hashem should entice, it's a powerful word, to entice the Malach HaMavis to go get him. Just like it says, Chava said Hanochosh, he she ani vo oichel. Period. Now we come to Menachem. Menachem is really what it said in the Mitzvah stuff. Menachem Poasar Yashi Miloshon Yesh, substance. Kimo im Yeshchem Oisim, if only you will do. If you wish to do. If you wish, you have a desire. Okay, you're translating as a desire. Im Yeshchem Oisim, Asher Yesh Noipo, those that are present. Those that are present here. Now, the word yesh is a very hard word to translate. And the proof is, lahanchil lo'ohavai yesh. Hashem will bequeath my beloved with yesh. Yesh means what? What does yesh mean? In this psukim, it seems like, asher im yeshchem oisim, desire. Poiseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai rotzoin. Will. In this pasuk, im yeshchem oisim, it means a desire. If you will have a desire to do, people who have a rotzoin, a will, that's pretty good. That's an incredible bracha to have a will to live, a will to accomplish something in this world. That's an awesome blessing. So then what it means, if you want to say that it means a desire, go back to the pasuk, Yashi Mavis Olemo, may it be your desire, Hashem, that you to bring upon them death. David is trying to persuade Hashem. Hashem, why do you let these guys live? Why do you let these evil people walk the face of the earth and cause other people pain?
Yirotzon, exactly.
That's the makar. This pasuk then would be the makar of why all of our blessings, Yehi Ratzoin Milfonecha Hashem Elokeinu. How many times do we say this nusach in all different things that we do? All these blessings. Look at the journal. Look at all these journals. Yehi Ratzoin of dinners. Yehi Ratzoin. May it be your desire, Hashem.
Look at the siddur. Yehi Ratzoin. They're all over the place.
After Shemona Esrei, three times a day. Yehi Ratzoin Milfonecha Hashem Elokeinu. Ve'elokei Avosein Nishri Yibonei Beis HaMikdash Memher V'yameinu. Everywhere you turn, right and left, Yehi Ratzoin. Where does that come from? It comes from this, Yashi Moves Olemoi. What is the word Yashi? Yashi means will. May it be your will. How do you know the word Yashi? Rashi Menachem Pasar Yashi L'shon Yesh. What does the word Yesh mean? Kimo im Yeshchem Oisim. If not mistaken, that pasuk there, Rashi there says im Yeshchem Oisim. It means desire. If you have a desire to do, desire. And then the neg asher yeshnoi poyda. That's a little bit more different. Asher yet those asher yeshnoi po. Those who are present.
Right.
What does it mean in that context? A little bit different. Yeah.
I don't know context, but it means this time it means yesh to exist.
Okay. In that pasuk as well, dvarim those yeah.
To exist.
Those who want to be here today. Atem nitzavim hayam kuchem lufnei Hashem Elokeichem. So in that context it says asher yeshnoi po, which would mean then those who have a desire to be here today. And those who don't have a desire to, it's a whole different meaning of the pasuk if you want to translate the word yeshno in that fashion. I believe we'll leave it with that.
I don't see the word rotzoin any place.
Can we have a look at the pasuk? Let's look at the pasuk. Let's look at the pasuk in Bereishis Chav Dalet.
I
This is by Shechem, right? It's by Shechem, I believe. Okay, Pasuk is Bereishis Chav Dalet. Bereishis Chav Dalet.
Mentes. Pasuk Mentes.
Chav Dalet.
Pasuk Mentes.
Chav Dalet. Man. No, this is by the Kever, by Avraham. Yeah, I'm going, okay. Viata. Okay, Avraham is coming to buy a grave for Sarah. Viata now, im yeshchem oisim chesed ve'enes es Adoni. No, I made a mistake. This is Eliezer. I'm sorry, Eliezer. Eliezer is coming to ask Rivka marriage. Im yeshchem oisim chesed ve'enes es Adoni. Hagidulivim lo, if not, Hagiduli v'yefne alimim al smol. Rashi pasuk mentes alimim. There is no Rashi. Okay, let's go look over here. You wish, you desire. Let's see the targum mentes uchan im isechoin of din. It's not really helping us. Isechoin of din chesavim. I believe there's another Rashi on this. So will, in the context, a simple meaning of the pasuk, it means if you desire. Im yeshchem oisim. Your will, okay, your will, but it's pretty much a very similar thing. Fine. So this, now let's go to the other pasuk. The other pasuk, Devarim Chav Tes Yudalit. Devarim. Here's the part in Nitzavim, okay? Atem Nitzavim, Hayom Kulchem Ufnei Hashem Lokechem, Ki Es Asher Yeshnoi Po Imanu Oymer Hayom, Lufnei Hashem Lokechem, Vi Es Asher Einenu Po Imanu Hayom. Rashi, Pasuk Yudalud, no Rashi on this. Vi Es Asher Einenu Po, okay, over here in the Targum it says, Are Yos Mondi Isohi, those that are present. That's the word Po. Okay. It's not really, you have to look at another Mepharshim to explain what this word means. The word yeshno, ki es asher yeshnoi po imanu omeid hayam, those who are present here today. I'm trying to say that there's a deeper meaning, because the word yesh...
They say the people that are going to be es asher einenu po hayam, the people that are going to convert to Yiddishkeit, souls...
The neshamas. Okay, that's a Kabbalistic interpretation.
Yes.
Okay, Rashi says in the pasuk, "V'eis asher inenu po v'af im doyros ho asidim lihiyos," the future generations. Okay, so those that are currently yesh, they are present. Okay, I want to say a drush is not necessarily what it says. If it is correct that the word yesh has a connotation of a desire, it means those people who want to be here and those who don't want to be here. You take a class, you go to yeshiva, take a class. Who in the class wants to be here? Who would rather be at the beach playing volleyball? The whole class will raise their hands. Why are you here then? We don't have a choice.
Don't ask that question.
Not everyone in life, really. Some people are here because they really want to be here. Some people are present because... Listen, these are the circumstances. In life, you do things that you don't want to go do. A kies asher yeshnoi po. I'm saying a drush, not the pashup shot. Those who really have a desire to be here and listen to me speak to you. And there are people over here that are not yet holding that level, exalted level of spirituality, who really want to be present and listen to the Devar Hashem. They're not mature enough. But the day will come. It's a process to get to that madrega where it's your desire, ritzoinenu la'asoyis ritzoincha. Everything in life is a process. There's no child in school that wants to be in school, but it is a process that through going to school, forcing yourself into a certain situation, it rubs off on you, and eventually you will come to enjoy it. I told this to you so many, many times. It was once a very big Rosh Yeshiva, and he told this Talmidim, I want you all to become Rabbanim. Why? you'll learn, you'll he said, because then you'll come to care about people. Now what does that mean? What does he mean? He meant to say, you'll get a job as a Rav. He says, immediately says if you're not a rabbi and you hear about a person, whatever, is not feeling well, you couldn't care less. Yeah, I saw a person die, I saw a person in the hospital, I got a notice, an email. I couldn't care less. What does it have to do with me? I'm busy, I'm making money, I'm having fun, I'm getting covered, I'm involved in all these activities. I could care less. I get an email from my shul that a balabas today is having an operation. I couldn't care less. It has nothing to do with me. I just have to hope I'm not going to be the next guy on the email that's having an operation. He says, that is how you're going to end up living your whole life. But if you become a rabbi of a shul, and then you get an email that one of the balabatim is not feeling well, it's your job to call up that balabat. It's your job. How are you doing? Now, when you're going to call him up, are you really going to sincerely care about this person? No, not likely. But then you're going to do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And you know what's going to happen? After you do it a couple of times, it's going to grow on you, and you're really going to care about the people. By putting yourself in a situation where you are responsible for your flock, you're first going to start out as a young 20, 22-year-old kid calling up these people who you have nothing to do with, don't even know about, and talking to them will be a burden. But as you do it a few times, you'll come to really sincerely care about them. And then that attitude will change your life, and you'll care about everyone. If you'll never be in a situation where you're forced to do this, you'll never know what it's like to really care about other people outside your little circle, your little family. So that's life. Moshe over here says, now, I know Mordechai doesn't agree with me that it means rotzayn, but...
Well, one second. So, however, when Rashi is quoting, Mestama, he's not quoting the drash. He's probably, but he's quoting this thing. He's quoting the Chazal of Pshat. I mean, even though it could be, you have a drash, but he's quoting. He says because the pasuk Hashem Yeshno. He's talking about the Pshat of Pshat.
So what does it mean? What does Pshat of Pshat mean? First,
Rashi is quoting it. He's quoting the Pshat of Pshat Yeshno.
So what is the Pshat of Pshat? What is it? First, Rashi quotes two pesukim.
Not present. Rashi's not learning.
Okay, but what is the first pasuk though? The first pasuk you write, the second pasuk you write, it's a little more difficult.
We're concentrating on the second pasuk for the moment. Rashi yesh no pao, he's quoting the regular, the pasuk of Shad, which is present.
Yesh. Yesh means substance. Those that are yesh noi poi, those that are yesh.
Here.
What is po? What's the difference between the word po and the word yesh no? I don't know. This is a poetic repetition to emphasize the point, possibly asher, that yeshnoi po. Rashi does not translate.
Po is here, yeshnoi
is po, and what is yesh?
In existence.
Those here. That are in
existence.
Po is also in existence.
But po is now.
That are extant.
Po is not now.
Po is here.
Po is here. Location.
Here.
And what is yesh?
In
existence. That's Asher. Asher is
now.
R.
In existence now.
we're going in circles. It's an expression. Okay, it's an expression. I don't know. It's very hard to translate it literally. It's an expression which means those that are present.
Yeah, well, it's not broad saying. I mean, you can't. That's so far. That's not in Asheyeshnofo.
Okay, you're right. I don't know what it means. And what does it mean, the first pasuk? The first pasuk, Kimo im. Yeshchem oisim. What does that mean? Avraham Eliezer is speaking to Lavan. Im yeshchem oisim.
If you're willing, we said.
If you're willing to do, willing, will,
willing.
Willing.
You know, we'll push. You know, if you agree, not that you want to, but if you will agree, you know.
You will. Willing to agree.
You're willing to.
So in this pasuk it says Yashi moves olemo. So what does that mean now, according to those two psukim that Menachem quotes? If you're willing to bring death upon them, or may you be willing to bring death upon them, that's the first pasuk. And the second pasuk that Rashi quotes, a reality, that asher yesh noipo, it should be a reality that death is brought upon them. It would seem that these two psukim, the word yesh has a different meaning, the pshudushal mikra in these two psukim, and each, the simple meaning of the first pasuk is willing. And that would mean, yashim avisalemo, may it be your will to bring death upon them. According to the second pasuk, it sounds like more of a reality, is not the will. This is what is. Yashim avisalemo. The reality is you are going, Hashem, to bring death upon these evil people. It's a reality. It's a world of reality. Asher yeshnoi po, those that are currently in the world of reality, present at this location. Yashim avisalemo, may it be a reality. May it be a reality, not just a conceptual concept. Oh, maybe they should theoretically die. No. Let them actually die. Okay. Let us go further.
In reality, Eliezer, you know, you should agree to be Eliezer.
So you want to say that the first pasuk also means reality. The reality should be that you should agree. You should agree. There's a fine difference.
I think he's just being more formal in his discussion.
Okay, so the bottom line is we have an interesting word, yashi, two perushim in Rashi. Rashi's preferred interpretation, his interpretation is it comes from the word, as if there's an aleph by Chava of to entice. And Rashi goes through this pilpul, David is begging Hashem to entice the Malach HaMoves to take the life of Achitofel. According to Menachem, it comes from the word yesh. The word yesh is a hard word to translate. He gives us two examples, and it means a prayer, or it's a request or a prayer that these people should, their life should come to an end. Now, of course, you have to also take note of the fact that the way we have pronounced it is a kivirsiv. We pronounce it as two different words, yashi, and then there's moves, and the way it's written is one word, yeshimois, which basically in this case is just the same, well, the same idea. What does the Mincha Shai say? Look at the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai says, Yashi Moves, Kri. We read it as two different words. One of 15 words. Okay, he gives us the number. Is that only 15 words in the whole Tanakh which are written as one word? And we read it as two words. Okay, he says there, okay, I don't know what that means over there, in the Meser Gedolah, there's a simile to remember all the 15 words. Loshon Radak, Perish, Kosov, Bolei Aleph, Ekri Ba'Aleph. Kimo, Lo Yashi Oyev Bo, it means to entice, like what Rashi says. Chayin Kosa, B'Sharoshim, Shu B'Cheshrin Aleph, Kimo Al Yoni Roishi. I don't know what he means. I think he just alluded to what Rashi says. I think if he's saying that he's true with an aleph, I think it means over here is that when you read an aleph, it means to entice. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next, bim guram. David over here says that these people, that they are rois, bim guram, bim guram, bikirbam. These are evil people. They should go down to the grave because they're thoroughly equal. They are two words which mean pretty much the same idea. Bim guram and bikirbam, in their midst. What does it say? What does it say over here in the Targum? The Targum translates the word bim doi rehoin, in their dwelling places, and bikirbam means begufehoin. Okay, their abode, their society is evil, and their bodies, they themselves are practitioners of evil. Rashi, bim guram, bim loinam, in their abode, like a malone, a hotel, in their dwelling places. Okay, next, erbok v'sodayim, Arvis v'shachris u'mincha shalosh tefilos. Davis Rashi is saying a beautiful drush. It doesn't just mean ani erev avoyke v'tzoharayim asicha asicha. I'm davening. He's not just saying over here that I'm talking. I'm not just complaining. I am. There's a difference when you speak to Hashem casually versus speaking to Hashem through the matbea that Chazal have given you to daven to Hashem. When you speak to Hashem through tefillah, it is infinitely more potent than speaking to Hashem in your own language. Because when a person speaks Hashem in his own language, it can be saying apikorsis. What are you saying? And people, you make a request of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who says you have a right to make such a request? Who says you understand Hashem? When a person, you know, we know, we are encouraged to go out into the forest, be like the Bar Ditshuva, to go out into the forest and talk to Hashem. It's very nice. So why don't we just do that every single day instead of davening three times a day? Just every single day, go out into the forest and talk to Hashem and make a couple of requests. Hashem, I need this, I need that. And that's not a good idea. That is only a supplement to the matbea shetavu chachamim. Chazal have given us a text of what exactly to say, and to say exactly these words three times a day. This template, this text, puts you on the right path. It puts in your mind a correct hashkafa in communicating with Hashem. And after you've been set straight on knowing the template, then you can go and have a casual conversation with Hashem as well. Hopefully you won't deviate and say nonsense. So here David says, Ani Elokim Ekrav Hashem, I speak to Hashem and I complain. If you would not have this Rashi, you would say that David was from the Bar Ditshuva. He went out into the forest and he had a conversation talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a dangerous thing, because no, Rashi says this is Arvis, V'shachar, Samich, Sholosh, Tefilos, has a connotation, there's a nusach of Tefillah, which is...
You might have also thought it just the whole day and night, non-stop.
Oh, a limit. You're saying another idea. You're saying a very good, Dr. was saying a very good limit, is that you have to come to a stop. A person cannot daven, even chazasa, halavai sheyispalel adam kol hayayim. Right, there is shechadal. Halavai, a person should pray the entire day. Really, is that healthy? What does that mean? You have to take that in context. If that was really so, how come we only have three times to daven? Three and not four. Obviously, there is a time not to daven. Kel na refa no la.
You're supposed to daven or learn Torah?
Well, how do you... It says, "V'hagisabo yoyman v'layla." V'hagisabo, you should learn, which is certainly interpreted to mean you shall learn. V'hagisabo yoyman v'layla. Chazal, when are you allowed to study Chochmas Yevonis? Greek wisdom, whatever that is.
Find the time where there's no day.
So find the time that it's not yoyim and not layla. If you can find the time during the day, that's because the pasuk says v'hagisa bo yoimon v'layla, day and night. Ah, how then can Chazal say halavai sheyispalel adam kol hayoim? Contradiction. If you're supposed to learn the entire day, there's no time to learn. If you're learning the entire day, there's no time to daven. Obviously, there has to be some balance. There are three times a day, so Dr. was saying very good, that you have to stop. You have to live also. You have to daven, and you have to live. You can't daven the entire day. You're taking away from the purpose of life. Next, Pasuk Yutes, Mikrav Li, Mina Melchomos, Melchoma Haba Alai. Same thing that we learned in the Mitzudos, the word Kirov. The word Kirov means war. Why does the word mean war, Kirov? Kirov means to come near. Krav, for some reason, going near, combat, is described in this word krav. Ki v'rabim hayu imadi.
Well, that's why you have the pasuk atem kravim hayom la milchama.
In Israel, they say
you crave him hayom.
You're about to go to war.
They do.
That's the point.
Today,
going to war. Is krav. You're coming near. Who are you coming near? Your enemy, or maybe means you're coming near yourself. If you're willing to put your life on the line for something, you're really looking at yourself in the mirror. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to go risk my life or really give up your life for this cause? You gotta look inside of yourself. When you go to war,
right. You
really have to believe in what you're doing. Otherwise, I'm giving up my life. A person goes out to battle. You're giving up your life. What are the chances he'll come home alive? Who knows? Going out to war by definition means you're willing to give up your life for something. That forces you to look deep, deep down inside of you and to define your values. How often does a person in life come face to face with himself to really define what is really true to him? War is called kirov because a war forces you to look that deep kirov, which means bekirboy. here, but inside of yourself, what are your values? What in life is meaningful for you that you're willing to give up your life for? Okay, next. Let's go to Pasuk Kiv. Now here is where Rashi deviates from what we learned in the Mitzvot David. Kiv Rabim, Hayu Imadi, Kizos Osoli, Bishvil Harab, Hashem, you've been kind to me, you've saved me from death. Why? In the zuchus of all of my friends who have prayed for me. Bishvil harabim shahayu be'ezrasi lehispalel olai shenemar v'chol Yisrael v'Yehuda ohavim es David. What a Rashi. So we have over here a complete of Mitzudas David. Okay, the Mitzudas David, go back to Pasuk Yitzchak, says the Mitzudas David we learned today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, Hashem has redeemed me despite the fact that I was outnumbered. Hashem, you've been so kind to me in the past. You've redeemed my soul. You've saved me despite the past that in war, ki virabim hayu imadi, there were a majority of enemies against me. Against. And that's an unusual translation because the word imadi simply means with me. Rashi is taking it literally with me. And it means the reason why Hashem has redeemed my neshama and I have succeeded in all of the battles is because the tzaddikim were my friends who were with me. What do you mean with me? No one's with you. You were alone in battle. They were davening for me. They were praying for me. Ki v'rabim hayu madi, when someone davens for you, it's as if they're with you in battle. And that's one of the reasons why obviously, when Rachman Nelson is in Esara, everyone has to go and be mispalel. There are people that are out there that are putting their lives on the line, and the merit of the people that are being mispalel will achieve victorious results. Self-understood. Pasichav, next page 490. Yishma kel tefilosam shel oisam rabim. Now this goes back different than the Mitzudas. According to the Mitzudas, Yishma kel means David, listen to my prayers or my request that you bring upon these enemies' death. Here, Yishma kel, according to Rashi means the prayers of the tzaddikim who are praying for me. Listen to their prayers. Shel oisam rabim v'yaneim. And according to Rashi, does not mean to humble them, to yachni'im, but answer. The word ya'anim sometimes means to answer a request, and sometimes it can mean the ya'anim, a lashon of inui, vatimo'ein, as Rashi, the Mitzuda says, it means to humble, le'onois miponoi. So we learned until now, Yishmakel, according to the Mitzvot, Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, listen to my prayer, V'yaneim, and humble my enemy. Rashi says, no, Yishmakel, may Hashem listen to the prayers of the Rabbim who are davening for me, V'yaneim, and answer their request, and save me. Next Rashi, V'yoshev, V'yaneim ha-melech, Shu Yoshev kedem, Asher, now notice he leaves out the word Selah. Isn't it amazing how Rashi completely omits the word Sela, which possibly could mean that the word Sela is more of a musical note. Then we have many, what exactly is the meaning of the word Sela? Sela means Amen? Does it mean Kel Melech Neman? Or does Sela mean, it means a musical note, it's an indication to the conductor when he should raise his hand, when he should do something. Yishma Kel V'yanem V'yoshev Kedem, the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Yoshev Kedem, Sela, Rashi does not translate the word. Let's assume it refers to Hashem.
It's a colon,
yes. Right, it's some interesting. What happened to the word Sela? I don't know. Asher,
I'm done. I said what I said, now starting a new
thing. It's a new sentence, possibly. Asher Ein Chalifa Islamoy. It means, so you're saying the word Sela is the colon. Dr. Dove is suggesting that Rashi's interpretation of the word Sela is the colon. Who put the colon there? The Rashi put the colon there, or the printer put the colon there? Not likely Rashi knew from a colon, right? Rashi, so it's an idea. Maybe put some end. Asher ein chalifas lamay lo'aisam harishar maharaitim aisi ein naisim libam el yom chalifasam ein chareidim b'yom hamisa. So here we have an agreement. The Mitzudas and Rashi agree that the word chalifos means death. And he calls it here, Rashi is much more explicit. Usually it's the Mitzudos that's more explicit. Mm-hmm. Rashi here is the one that's very explicit. It means the Yoim Chalifasam, the day that they pass. They go from this world to the next world. They're not afraid. Miyoim Hamisa. V'lo Yaru Elokim. Rashi does not translate V'lo Yaru Elokim. Okay, but obviously it seems they're not afraid of Hashem and they're not afraid of death. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Shalach Yadav.
Rashi was talking about the tzaddikim, that they were kirabim hayim avi, and he continued Yishma Kelly and Yerushalayim.
In contrast,
Sela,
stop. But in contrast, the wicked people, you want to make a hefsek. You don't want to connect the tzaddikim and the rishonim, so you put the word Sela in between. Okay, next pasuk, Shalach Yadav, Ze Achi Toifel. He calls me a Rasha. Shalach. Ramachol, what does the old French word mean?
Well, I'm going to skip to the modern French word. Tonde, which means, it says here, to stretch forth. I keep thinking of the word like a tendon.
A tendon, interesting. Okay, they stretch forth their hand, bishlemav, bimi shahaya shaket vishalein. Someone who's peaceful, shalem v'shalom imo, which means me. David is saying that these wicked people, they went and they stretched forth their hand, they damaged the relationship with people who are at peace with them and violated the bris, pasuk chav beis, cholku, they have smooth tongues. L'shoin chalak lakois. We repeat those letters, lamed and the kuf, which means a repetition of very smooth talkers. May, macha mo'ois piv, l'shoin chema, butter. The mem is part of the root, he says. Kemem shel ma'aseh, umem shel ma'amar. So the mem is part of the root, which is difficult because we learned the word, why is the mem part of the root? Chema.
It's a noun, so you're not restricted by the three root letters.
Machamo'os. Machamo is gnel loshen chema. Chema is ches mem aleph. No,
the chema is without a mem.
Without a mem. So, but he's saying the mem is part of the yisoid. The yisoid means it's part of the peah poya. The hamem is contradicting himself. First he says loshen chema,
and
yisoid. It's part of the verb, but it falls off.
The hamem harishayna yisoid noifel hi bateva. Let's see, this is a Canaan. Perish Rashi Zal, Vamem, Rishon, Yisoy Neufel, Return the Lema, Ki'im. Ki Iaf Shar, Lefarish, Hamem, Rishon, Nemora, Al Yois, Senechem. Normally, when you have a mem, it's me, like with a chirik, Michemo, Umechemo, more than cream. Their words are more smooth that you can't say that, why not? Diem Cain, Hoyla Linkoid, Tsere. It should have then said mechema. If it meant that their words are more smooth than butter, it should be vowelized cholku mechamois. But it doesn't say that. It says ma. It says ma chamois. The ein radak zal v'kalohavin. So what? Nirish ein mefarish cholku yoiser mechema. The os havi mem shimush k'moy min ella hakol shorish k'moy maaseh. The mem is part of the root of the word. V'aperish came a pasuk shecholak piv ki ilu mole chema. So the mem over here means it's as if it's filled. It's the mem stands as a word in its own right. I think that's what he means to say. The mem over here is representing an entire word. It's mole chema. They are filled with chema. V'huchrach l'kach shemem hashimush darko liyos b'chiruk v'kan hu b'patach u'mikol mokam hoylu l'farish r'feirish ha'posuk. Fine. So that's the thing over here. That's the basic gist of what it means over here in this pasuk. Let's go back to the Rashi. Loshen chalak lakos, smooth. Macha ma'ois piv loshen chema v'hamem harishon yisoy neifel hi b'teva kemem shel ma'aseh u'mem shel ma'amor. I'm not sure what it means by that, but the basic idea over here is that it doesn't mean more so, but it means it's molei chema. Their piv is molei chema. Let's go back to the mitzudos. Mitzudos pasuk chaf beis. Cholku divrei piv heima rakim v'chalokim yoiser. Nechema. So you see a clear disagreement between Rashi and the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David was not bothered with the fact that it says Ma instead of what would be more correct to say May. It's as if it says more than Chema. Rashi disagrees because it should say the Nechema. So he's, the way the Sif says the Kanim is interpreting it, it means it's Mole Chema. A small nuance, a small difference. Next Rashi. Rashi v'krov liboy, liboy la mulchama, there is war in their heart. That's what the Mitzudas David said. Next words, v'heima pisichos, they're full of swords. Menachem pasal l'shoin charavos, that's what the Mitzudas says. The word, this word is a borrowed word, which means a sword. Kimoy v'ein eretz, v'ein ves eretz nimroid bif sochel, with his swords. Kifios, the edge of the sword, that's another pasuk. The edges of the sword, that's the Micha. V'oimer ani. Rashi disagrees, because this is a very difficult word. To go say the word Pesach means a sword. You're really bending backwards. You're borrowing expressions for the context here. V'oimer ani l'shan k'loluhu b'loshan arami. K'da omar, like it says, kosav amemor, pesicho ilove amemar, wrote a curse upon this person. V'hu shtar shamta. You have in the Gemara. You have in the Gemara the word pesicha. The word pesicha is an Aramaic word which means a curse. These people are the Hema, they are curses to the world. These people, he's saying unbelievable pshan pasik. Cholku machamos piv, according to Rashi, their words of their mouth are filled, not more, filled with smooth talk, smooth like cream. Ukrov libo, but in their heart they're out to get you, they're out to go to war. Raku devod of mishemen, but vehema fisichois, they're a curse. These are people that are filled with curses. Aramaic word. Okay, next Rashi, finish up the Mizmar. Next Rashi, pass page 492. Yehovcha ma so'acha. The word Yehovcha means a burden, a burden. Ruach hakodesh mishiva loichein. The Ruach HaKodesh responds, Yichal kilecha, yispol ma so'acha. Hashem will carry your burden. Kimoi hashamayim, ushnei hashamayim, lo yichal kilucha. It means to sustain. There means will not sustain you.
You have the expression, give me your burden.
Mechalkel chayim b'chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains us. Lashon kilkul miturgam, like the word kilkul, the translation is misovar, betargum yonasim ben uzdil, which means misovar means to bear. The word sovar means to, in English means to bear. So here, this mode, what does it mean? Mode means miidas regel, the faltering of the foot, to stumble, to slip. So the conclusion, so over here, Pasach of Gimel over here, he's saying, Rashi is saying a very powerful Yisoid, and we have to look at the Mepharshim to this. This Pasach, Hashlecha al Hashem, Yehovecha v'hu yichal kilecha, was not said by David. Rashi says this Pasach was said by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Isn't that amazing? Remember we had all these interesting psukim. Who said the psukim? Who was the one who composed this Mizmar? Ruach HaKodesh Meshiva Loikein. It is the Ruach HaKodesh who gives you the following response. David over here is begging Hashem to eliminate his enemies, and Hashem responds, don't worry, David, just throw on me your package, your burden, I will sustain you. Hashlech Alem, it's Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh Meshiva Loikein, unbelievable. This pasuk over here, he's saying, was not written by David. This pasuk was sent down from heaven, and David included the whole part, saying the whole part. It seems the entire thing. It would appear that the Rashi is commenting on the entire pasuk. The entire pasuk over here was a response from the Shechina. It was sent down from heaven and entered into David's mind, into his mouth, and it was not his own words, and it entered into this Mizmar. Unbelievable. Hashlech al Hashem, Hu Yichal Kilecha, and Hashem will not allow the tzaddik to falter. Okay, so we have over here concluded with the Rashi and the Mitzudas.
What does he say? What does Yisfal not Masov mean? What does Rashi?
Burden. The word.
No, say the whole. What's the whole thought here? Yichal Kilecha. I thought this Baruch Hu was speaking.
Yes, but the word the translation of the word Yechalkelecha means will bear, to be soivel. Sort of like to carry.
So Yispol means
Hashem.
You
Hashem.
But Yispol means
Hashem will carry your burden.
Hashem will carry your burden.
Whatever your burden is, forget about it. Just throw it on the truck, put it on the bottom of the bus, and the bus will carry it for you. You have a burden. You have a big peckle. You go on an airplane. You have luggage. Bring your luggage to the front of the airport and the person there will take it from you and they'll put it on the conveyor belt and you'll be done with it. Is that a very relief?
So is answering, I will.
Yes.
So with Yehovah means I will.
The Ruach HaKodesh, Meshiva Loikein. Hashem is responding. David is burdened.
Put your bundle, and Hashem.
Hashem will sustain you. Hashem, and Hashem will not allow the tzaddik to falter forever. That concludes the Mizmor.
By the Chafetz Chaim on the wagon.
He said yesterday, right? He said yesterday. Why are you holding it? The same one that's carrying you can carry the wagon.
Right.
What are you holding it for? Exactly. Hashem, if you wake up in the morning, Hashem is carrying you. If Hashem is carrying you, Hashem can carry your pekel also. Don't worry about your problems. Hashem got you covered. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Tomorrow we're going to do a few more mefarshim on this mizmar, and then we'll spend one more day on this mizmar. I want to focus on a few certain things.
Today's the yahrzeit of Shaila Belzer, the son of the.